Amen. Well, after that song and after that video with the International Mission Board and then that song, it's kind of hard to talk, honestly. Praise the Lord. We're going to start this morning with a little bit of a nothing. You'll have to turn the pulpit mic on, Victor. If I'm not getting anything there, we'll just have to do that. We're going to start this morning with a little true-false quiz. And so to make this easy, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a statement. I'll show it on the screen as well. I'm going to read a statement, and then I'm going to say true or false, and I'm going to point, so we're all in cue, and you yell true or false, and we'll just see how well we do, okay? So I'm going to, don't speak too soon. Don't give the answer away. I'm going to read a statement. I'm going to say true or false, and as soon as I point, you tell me true or false. So the first question, we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. True or false?
True.
True. Very good. We're all on the same page. True. That's important. That's the only way we are saved. All right, true or false, if you follow Jesus, all your problems will go away. True or false?
False.
Good, good. That gospel does not work in, that's heresy. That doesn't work in most parts of the world today for Christians. You just see how many Christians throughout Christian history, have been persecuted for their faith. So yes, that is false. True or false, Jesus is one of multiple ways that we can get to God and have eternal life. True or false?
False.
False. Very good. Yes. Again, that is heresy. If we believe that, then we are rejecting the very words of Jesus who said he is the way and the truth and the life. There is no way to the Father except through him. All right. True or false, if you have trusted in Jesus as Savior and Lord, then you have his Holy Spirit. True or false?
True.
True. Very true. That's important. Because we know that there's no, I don't know, are you clicking that, Fritz? Because I'll click it here. I'm not sure what's going on. Dennis is gone today. Dennis, remember, he's got the clicker award. I didn't get the clicker award. All right, so bear with me. All right, so that is true. If we receive Christ, then we receive his Spirit. That's a promise. The Spirit seals us until the day of redemption. All right, true or false? If you have enough faith, you can have great confidence in health and wealth. True or false?
False.
False. That is the false prosperity gospel, the heresy that says, yes, if you have enough faith, you won't be sick, you won't be poor. No. Again, ask most Christians in the world who are suffering on account of their faith. Ask people who have suffered greatly here, despite having great faith. So that is not true. All right, true or false? The Bible is the perfect word of God and is complete and without any error. True or false?
True.
True. Amen. Praise the Lord for his word. That is what everything we believe is based on what the Bible clearly teaches. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins, and physically rose from the dead. True or false?
True.
This is the gospel, right? If we don't believe this, we don't follow the God of the Bible. We don't follow our Savior and Lord if we don't believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he was and did what the Bible clearly says he did. All right, true or false? In order to receive God's grace and salvation, you have to really do your best first.
False.
Very good. Again, this is a heresy. This is a false teaching. This is why we would disagree with so many other, not just other religions, but people that would claim themselves to be Christians. But this is a false gospel. Galatians addresses this clearly. No, we can't do our best first. We need Christ to do that work in us. True or false? Only after you turn your life around will Jesus and his church accept you. True or false?
False.
False. Very important. Again, this is a false teaching that tells us that we can somehow do something to earn God's grace. No, we receive God's grace. He changes our hearts, and then he allows us to change. We don't change ourselves. He does that changing through us. Jesus is coming again, and you better be ready. True or false?
True.
True. Very important. This is the truth that we must, and it's why we're here, right? It's why we talk about what we talk about and believe what we believe and preach what we preach, because we need to be ready by trusting and putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Well, in going through Jude, we've been talking over and over again and seeing the importance of knowing the truth and understanding and recognizing false teaching. In order to contend for the faith, we must know what is true and what is false. So we've talked about the faith and why battling for that faith is so important and how to recognize then if we're contending for the faith, we need to recognize false teaching. We need to recognize who heretics are and what they're doing when they're leading people astray, so that we don't get stuck in that as well, so that we don't get deceived by false teaching. So instead, how can we truly endure? How can we focus on the faith that was delivered to the saints once for all? So today we're going to finish this series by talking about contenders, not pretenders. Right? Let's contend for the faith and not be pretenders like the false teaching heretics. You're not going to regret contending for the faith, whereas pretenders, everybody who pretends will one day regret that rebellion. So if you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to turn with me to Jude. We're going to begin in verse 1, and we'll read a few verses, and then we're going to kind of go down, and I'll explain what we're going to do here as we go through this passage. So it says in Jude, verse 1, a slave of Jesus Christ, Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ, and a brother of James, to those who are the called, loved by God the Father, and kept by Jesus Christ. May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Dear friends, although I was eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write, and so here he's going to say his purpose for why he wrote this whole letter, exhort you to contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints once for all. Now, why is he writing this? Why is this his purpose? Well, he says in verse 4, for certain men who were designated for this judgment long ago have come in by stealth. So he's talking about these false teaching heretics. They are ungodly, turning the grace of our God into promiscuity and denying our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ. So over the next several verses then, verses 5 through 19, we see him unpack this, and we see him give all of these different examples of what these false teachers are doing and how they're leading people astray and how we need to be prepared for that. And so if we had time, we'd read through all of this. I'm going to go back and reference several of those verses throughout the message. But if you look down at verse 20 then, let's continue beginning in verse 20. He says, but you, dear friends, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, expecting the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. Have mercy on some who doubt, save others by snatching them from the fire. On others have mercy in fear, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to protect you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. Father, that is our prayer, that we would bring you the glory and the majesty and the power and the authority, recognizing that those things are yours. And so, Father, help us to trust in your power and in your majesty and your authority and your glory. Help us to see that we don't give or take away from those things. We simply point people to it, and we recognize it, and we understand who you are and what you've done for us in and through Christ. So we thank you, Father, that if we know you, we are kept by you. We are kept by Jesus Christ, and we can expect what is to come with great joy and with great peace and with great hope, not because of who we are, but because of who you are and who you've created us to be and who you've saved us to be. So help us, Father, to know the truth and to live accordingly. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So my purpose in the message today is that you will genuinely contend for the faith now and always, right? We see this very clearly. So if you will contend for the faith now, then you're going to contend for the faith always. Do you love God? Then contend for the faith, right? Do you know Jesus? Then contend for the faith. Do you have his Spirit? Then you will contend for the faith. That'll be the fruit of your life. That'll be the desire of your heart. If you know and follow Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then you have his Holy Spirit and you will contend for the faith. And we see this very clearly in this letter. And so in thinking through this letter, I want you to consider three critical differences between contenders and pretenders. Who will you be? Right? What are you? What your words and your actions speak to who you are. Your words and your actions speak to which side you're on. And so the first difference I want you to notice is submit or deny, right? Submit or deny. So if you look at your notes, you look at the cross references, and I have them laid out a little bit different today than usual. You'll notice a verse, and then you'll see or another verse. So for example, Jude 1 through 3 or Jude 4 through 19. So Jude 1 through 3 describes those who submit to the Lord. Verses 4 through 19 describe those who do not submit, those who deny the Lord. Or Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 tells you this is what it looks like to submit to the Lord. Matthew 10:33, this is what it looks like to deny the Lord. And so we see a lot of these contrasts in the scriptures of different ways that you're either a contender, you submit, or you're a pretender and you deny. And so that's what we see. Contenders submit, but pretenders deny. They deny all of this. They deny the truth of what Jude is calling us to. They deny following God the Father and submitting to Jesus Christ as Lord and receiving his Holy Spirit. They deny. They pretend to live that life. So instead, they walk astray. And they lead others astray with unbiblical teaching and ungodly living. And that's why Jude is warning us. That's why he said, I felt compelled to exhort you to contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints once for all. Why? Because in verse 4, it says, they are ungodly, talking about these false teachers. They're turning the grace of our God into promiscuity and denying our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ. So kids, in the lesson in family groups this morning, why were John the Baptist's disciples getting upset? Anybody remember, why were John the Baptist's disciples getting upset? Who were his disciples? Vincent? Okay, yeah, so what happened? A bunch of John's disciples, or a bunch of people that were following John, they started following who? Jesus. So they started following Jesus, and so Jesus is gaining this large following, and John's disciples were concerned that there weren't more people following John. So what was John the Baptist's response then? Anybody remember? Adults, you can help him out. What was John the Baptist's response? Isabella? Yeah, he said it. You just said the verse that I had. Did you read my PowerPoint beforehand? Were you back there? John the Baptist, talking about Jesus, said, he must increase, but I must decrease. That was John's response. They were like, John, but John, these people, they were going to follow you, but now they're following Jesus. And John's like, hey, it's all right. Don't follow me. Follow Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He must increase. I must decrease. You see, this is the difference between a contender and a pretender, right? Contenders submit to Jesus, and because they submit to Jesus, they want his increase, and they want their decrease. I don't want to increase. I want Jesus to increase. I want more glory to be pointed to him. I want the credit to go to him. I want him to receive the honor. They want to point others to Jesus and point people away from themselves. But pretenders deny Jesus' lordship over their lives. They want all the attention and the honor for themselves. Even if not outward, you'd say, well, what about people that are more quiet? Well, even if it's not outward, it's all about themselves. And so they, as the scriptures tell us, Jesus himself said, they have their reward, but nothing good is coming. And so John 3, verse 36, the one who believes in the Son has eternal life. But, so here we see the difference between contenders and pretenders. Contenders believe in the Son and have eternal life. But the one who refuses to believe, those who deny, those who reject, they don't believe in the Son, they will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him. So there's the difference between contenders of the faith that was delivered to the saints once for all, or pretenders, people that don't really submit Jesus as Lord. Do you believe or do you refuse? Right? Do you submit or do you deny? Are you a contender or are you a pretender? Contenders submit, pretenders deny. The second thing I want you to notice then is contenders persevere, whereas pretenders pervert. Right? Contenders for the faith, they persevere in that faith. Why? Because they are kept by Jesus Christ until the end. And because they are kept by Jesus Christ until the end, they keep themselves, it says, in the love of God, expecting the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. Contenders can't help but to persevere because we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And so we can't help but to persevere. Pretenders, though, they do not persevere, but rather they pervert the truth. They pervert everything in their lives because they don't have the Spirit and they are dead in their sins, which is true of all of us before we come to know Christ. So Romans 7 clearly teaches this. It gives an example of what it looks like to be dead in sin and to not have life. And then verses 4 to 19, right here in this letter, give us over and over again these illustrations of what all these kinds of perversion and all the things that they do because of their perversion, their distortion of the gospel, their lack of truth. So we see, like, the fallen angels. We see those from Sodom and Gomorrah. We see those who are like Cain, those who are like Balaam, those who are like Korah, those who are, Satan himself. We see all of these examples in verses 4 to 19 of what it looks like to, rather than persevere in the faith that was delivered to the saints once for all, to pervert the faith, to pervert the truth, to pervert the word of God. Pretenders pervert the truth and they fall away, but contenders persevere in Christ because they are those who are the called, loved by God the Father, and kept by Jesus Christ. And so, because of that, so we can keep ourselves in the love of God, expecting the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. Perseverance. And the more you persevere, the more you are changed by the Lord for his glory and for others' good. Pastor Jonathan Lehman recently shared a really encouraging word about how his parents told him, they said they love getting old because they can pray for him and his daughters and his ministry all day long. Because they don't have as much to do as they used to, so they're like, I love getting old. I can pray for you all day. I mean, what an incredible perspective of faithful perseverance. It's so, I mean, I'm only in my 40s, and I complain about getting old. And some of you are like, you don't know the half of it, literally the half of it. But yet, what a great example of faithful perseverance to say, you know what? Praise God that I'm getting older and I can pray more. I can devote more time to prayer. So different from the world of perversion that distorts the truth. The world of perversion that says, no, it's all about me now. As I get older, it's all about me. No, it's all about him. And it's all about helping others to know and follow him. And it's all about praying for others and praying for the advancement of the gospel. Whereas the worldly perspective, the perverted perspective that we see here in verses 4 to 19, like in verse 16, these people are discontented grumblers, walking according to their desires. Their mouths utter arrogant words, flattering people for their own advantage. Pretenders. Contenders submit, pretenders deny. Contenders persevere, pretenders pervert. Then we see also, as we keep going in this letter and we get towards the end, we see live or die. Contenders live, pretenders die eternally. Contenders in Christ live for the Lord now, and they will live for him forever because of the work of our triune God in our lives. Pretenders, though, they're dead in sin now, and they're going to experience eternal death because only in Christ do we experience life. Pretenders are those who refuse to repent. They refuse to trust in Christ, so they're not experiencing life. So you look at verse 12, for example, and it says they're twice dead. They're twice dead. They're physically dead. They're dead in sin now, and they're going to be dead for eternity, eternal death. Dead in sin and dead for all of eternity. So we see later say that those whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. What a terrible reality for those who refuse to follow the way of life and instead choose to follow the way of death. Live in Christ or die forever. Those are the two options. There's no in-between. There's no other option. And so on the contrary to this, we look at the end of the letter in verse 24, and it says, now to him who is able to protect you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before now, all time, now, and forever. Last week in an episode, I think it was Wednesday, in an episode of The Briefing podcast with Al Mohler, which, by the way, I highly recommend. If there's only one podcast you listen to, this is the one I would start with. This is the one I would listen to. I don't miss an episode. I listen to it every morning when I exercise or even sometimes when I take my monthly shower. But so this podcast, he shared the story of this 12-year-old boy in Ukraine. And it was a story that was covered extensively in the Washington Post. So Al Mohler was sharing these details of the story. Now, anybody hear about this 12-year-old boy in Ukraine? Anybody know what I'm about to share? So this boy in Ukraine, he was up in a pear tree helping a neighbor cut off a damaged branch in this tree. And as he was up in this tree, he hears the buzz of a drone. Now, if you know anything about what's happening in Ukraine right now, the buzz of a drone, the sound of a drone, that means death. I mean, that's a scary sound. In fact, it isn't just the case for soldiers. Civilians have been increasingly tracked and attacked and killed by these Russian drones that have cameras looking for people and then attack it armed with explosives. And so the boy hears this drone And then he sees and he realizes the drone is actually passing underneath him. So he's so high up on the pear tree, he sees underneath him this drone passing by. The Russians refer to this hunting down of civilians with drones. They call it a human safari in order to spread terror among the Ukrainians. And of course, the United Nations calls this it's a war crime, because it is. So they're declaring it that. And so just consider for a moment, consider the evil, the perversion of God's purpose for our lives, of people that were created in the image of God, and just what's happening right now in places like this. So this 12-year-old boy, he knows about this sick evil that was happening, and apparently there was a filament, this really thin filament line that's following behind the drone, because that's how the Russians use this technology so that they can go over 12 miles across the Russian border into Ukraine, and you can't jam the signals of these drones because there's literally a filament line that's like an unwinding behind the drone, and it goes all the way back over to the Russian side of the border so that you can't do anything. You can't cause any interference with the signal. So the boy learned about this because he had talked with a soldier who had explained this to him and his father after an attack a few weeks before this that used the same technology and had killed people. And so the boy and his dad, they saw these tiny, tiny little filament fibers, like these long fibrous strings, these in their community, in their neighborhood. And so they came across this explosives expert, the soldier, and they were asking about it. And it's like a fishing line. It's so thin and so strong that you can't really break it without tearing the skin on your fingers. And so it's almost impossible to do that. So the soldier, he showed the boy. He showed him a way you can break the line so that it basically ends the drone's ability to communicate back with the person who's controlling it and renders it useless. But he said, you got to be careful though. When you do this, you need to wait 15 seconds. Get it ready and wait 15 seconds after it passes you before you break the line so that it's out of range of seeing you and you're not in its range of being killed when you do this. So the boys think all these things are going through the boy's head as he sees this drone pass underneath him up on the branch. And this drone's flying underneath and it's heading towards his siblings who are playing in a little block there, right there in this city. And his mom is in a nearby building changing a diaper at the time. And he sees the drone going towards him, and then he notices as it gets in view of the children, it starts to rise in elevation, and he's like, something's gonna happen. He's safe in the pear tree. But what's he do? He gets down out of the pear tree, and he remembers those instructions, and he gets a hold of that filament line, because at that point it's dragging along the ground. He gets a hold of that filament line, and he makes the loop, and he gets ready to do what that soldier had taught him. But then he remembers the instructions. 15 seconds. You got to wait 15 seconds. You know what he does? He sighs, I can't wait 15 seconds. I might be too late. And so he counts to 10, and he breaks the line. You know what happened is that drone, it went up in the air and it veered off into a swamp nearby. And the swamp absorbed the drone and its explosive payload, and no one was harmed. No one. I mean, the boy saved, most likely, is according to the record of the soldiers who knew about this and researched or went and investigated afterwards, and according to those who knew what had happened with the previous attack, they said that boy saved dozens of lives by what he did. And that explosive expert was later interviewed, and he said, I don't think most soldiers would have been so quick on their feet and so brave and so accurate in what that boy did and the timing of the way he did it. But you see, it was a matter of life and death. Live or die, right? If you know the truth and you care about life, your life and others, do something about it. You do what's necessary. The boy knew the truth. He knew what had to be done to save the lives of those he cared about. And so he lived that truth. He lived that truth. He lived it out for the good of others. And that's how it is with eternal truth and eternal life. Do you care enough to do something about it? Do you care enough to have mercy on some who doubt? Do you care enough to save others by snatching them from the fire? On others, have mercy in fear, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be a contender and not a pretender. Pretenders stay up in that tree. They stay up in their comfortable spiritual tree. And just like the other pretenders, the really evil pretenders who are flying the drones to end lives, pretenders are fine with people heading to destruction. They're okay with it because they're just pretenders. But contenders save others by snatching them from the fire. Remember, I said my purpose today is that you will genuinely contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints once and for all, that you do it now and you'll do it always. When you go through your everyday life, do you have a growing desire to contend for the faith? I really believe such a growing desire in our hearts and in our lives, that's clear evidence that you are not a pretender, but that you are a contender. I don't mean that you don't make mistakes. I don't mean you don't fall short. We all fall short. But is there a growing desire for you to contend for the faith? If you do not have that desire, I want to plead with you today. Cry out to the Lord. Ask for his help. Trust him to change you. You have the three circles wristband. We gave these out a couple weeks ago, and this morning after the service, a couple of our deacons, James Smiley and Alan Tippett, will be right outside these doors before you leave in the lobby. And if you want to grab one of these, if you didn't get one, or if you've already broken yours, if you need another one. But if you'll take one of these and wear it and pray for God to give you opportunities, talk about your faith. And you can use what I'm going to share this morning. You can use this tomorrow when you go to work, and you can use your wristband or get out a napkin and write this down when you're sitting with a coworker at lunch break. Or if you're here this morning and you haven't yet experienced life in Christ and you're like, you know what, I'm just a pretender. I want to be a contender. If nothing else you hear today, please hear this, that God's design for your life is perfect. Just his, not mine, not the world's, not the American dream. God's design is perfect, but we all sin. We all sin and fall short of his perfection. We go astray, and that sin leads to brokenness, right? Pretending rather than contending. And so rather than following God's design, we go in all of these wrong directions, searching for all of these different things that will give us hope and meaning and purpose and joy and peace, and we can't find it because all of those things are found in God's plan for our lives. And most importantly, then, what that means is it means a broken relationship with God, because our sin breaks our perfect relationship with God, meaning that we all deserve to spend eternity in hell because of our brokenness. And there's only one thing that can fix our brokenness, and that's the gospel, the good news that Jesus died on the cross in our place for our sins. He took our place. He took our punishment. He took our brokenness on himself. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. He won the victory over sin and death. So now, if you simply repent of your sins and you believe in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, he'll give you a new life. He'll restore your walk with him. You have the promise of rescue and restoration when you turn to Jesus, but it's only possible when we turn away from sin to Christ, when he changes our hearts and gives us that new life. We're still broken, but we're being changed day by day, and as Jesus changes your life, that's when you begin to recover and pursue the perfect plan and purpose that God has for your life. Not only do you have the promise of God in your life now, you have promise for all of eternity as the Holy Spirit changes you and informs you and helps you to pursue the right things, to be a contender and not a pretender. You'll be like that Ukrainian boy who just, you just can't stand by and watch people perish. We're not content in that if we experience life in Christ, compelled and committed to not only experience life yourself, but for others to experience life, life in Christ, life eternal. So get a wristband, wear it this week, pray for people's salvation, and look for opportunities to talk about your faith with others. And by the way, let's raise up kids like that 12-year-old boy. Let's raise up disciples like that 12-year-old boy. People who care about others. People who do not just stay up in the tree, but get down and do what's right. People who save lives but for eternity. Be like that. Father God, that's our prayer today. We know that we fall far short of where we need to be because of our sin. And yet, by your grace, you not only rescue us from sin, but you give us a new heart. You give us new desires. You give us new longings. You give us new commitments. So, Father, we pray that you would help us today to follow you with all of our hearts, to obey your word, to live our lives in such a way that would point others to you, that we would get out of those spiritual trees and we would do something. We would do something for the glory of your name, for the good of others. Father, I pray this morning for those who are here who haven't yet experienced that new life in Christ. Father, please give them the desire today to turn to you, to surrender their all to you, to not deny, but to submit, to not pervert, but to persevere. Father, we know that's only possible by your grace and your mercy and your provision, so please draw their hearts to yourself and give them a desire to respond today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.